Welcome to House Party, a podcast where home and pop culture collide, coming straight to you from the editors of Realtor.com. I'm Natalie Way.
And I'm Rachel Stoltz.
Rachel, you put something on the docket that I saw the headline.
I just wrote, did you see this?
When it was floating around, I saw the headline and I didn't even want to click on it. But you forced it into my purview. And so now,
if I had to experience it, I wanted to drag everybody else down with me.
Thank you. Thank you for showing me the video of Drew Scott taking his shirt off on the Drew Barrymore show. Drew Scott, property brother. I mean, it's not that offensive. It sounds more like risque than it actually was. He just took his shirt off. But he did it next to this like former football player who was also on the Drew Barrymore show. And yeah. So he's like, he's like, I'm a trainer, or like, I like stay in shape, da da da. And he's probably way younger than the Property Brothers too. Rips off his shirt. Drew's like, oh my God, wow. And Ross Matthews is there too, who's looking really good. Like he looks like he's lost a lot of weight.
Okay.
He looks healthy.
Matthews didn't take off his shirt, did he?
No, he didn't. That's funny. The link, I just clicked the link and it says, I got a 503 error. I think they broke, the property where they're taking off his shirt broke the internet. Anyway, so the really ripped former football player takes his shirt off. And then property brother Drew Scott with his dad bod, he looks fine. But he's like, well, damn it, I'm taking my shirt off. And then his brother's like, well, I'm going to take my pants off. And like pretends to take his pants off. But I'm just like, you guys are so...
We'll link to it in the notes. Maybe you don't want to endure it, but... It's just
the Property Brothers being Property Brothers.
They're really on quite the press tour right now for Brother versus Brother.
And the new season is airing, so they're getting people hyped by taking their clothes off. Great.
As I said in one of our staff meetings, I had just seen them on Nightline.
Yeah. So
they're running the gamut. They're on Nightline and then they're doing strip teases on Drew Barrymore.
They're getting a little, yeah. They're taking it to the limit.
Yes. Pulling all the levers.
Are you watching anything exciting?
No, I'm not really watching anything exciting. I finally watched Top Gun Maverick this weekend.
Oh my God.
Is that oh my God because I finally got around to it?
No, it's just, it's... I don't know. Yeah. I wouldn't take you for a Top Gun Maverick.
Oh my God.
Are you a big like Tom Cruise head?
No, but I mean I very much enjoyed the first Top Gun, and then I heard great things about the sequel, and I was indeed delighted. The nostalgia of it, it was great. It was action packed. It was funny. It was a great movie. Highly recommend.
Yeah.
Can't really speak to the real estate in it, although did you see the first have you seen either?
That's gonna be a negative for me.
Gosh,
dog,
so enjoyable.
I know
this amazing house that's featured in the first film. It's right on the beach in San Diego, and it belongs to the flight instructor Kelly McGinnis, her character. And the house is amazing, and I meant to look up where it is and who actually owns it. It's really, if I could own a house anywhere, it might be that one. It's right on the beach.
Yeah.
Looks just beautiful and cozy and homey, so.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people would want to own on the beach, obviously. A lot of people would also maybe want to own in Memphis, Tennessee if they had the chance. I'm trying
quite the
to
segue.
Gently segue to a bit of news that came out last week. Lisa Marie Presley died. Really sad. Only daughter of Elvis Presley. She wasn't that old. She's 54. And the bit of news, you know, besides, I mean, she has this massive estate, and she was the owner of Graceland. She inherited it from Elvis when he died. And so apparently her three daughters will inherit Graceland, and it'll now be in their name. And Graceland, as you know, was the home where one of the it was the most popular home where Elvis lived. Lisa Marie created a trust with her mother, Priscilla, and they really wanted to use Graceland as both like a revenue generator and just like to preserve it in Elvis's memory. And so they opened it to visitors and offered tours and overnight stays. And I guess the lavish estate is now worth $500 million, which is crazy. And so her three daughters just inherited all that. And who knows what's going to continue on with Graceland, if they're going to, I'm guessing they'll probably just see that it stays open for visitors. But yeah, I thought that I didn't know the history of Graceland, but that's the short history of Graceland.
Fun fact, I've never been to Graceland. I've never been to Memphis, and I lived, grew up 2 hours away.
I was going to say, how far away is it from you? 2 hours?
Three.
I feel like that happens a lot of the times. Like if you live close to something,
you just sort of assume that it's always there to go to, and then you never make
it. Yeah, like the Golden Gate Bridge for me. Like I didn't walk over it for like 30 years, and then I finally walked over it.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, thank you for normalizing my lack of travel.
I mean, are you a big Elvis head?
No. I mean, I think he was fine.
Yeah. Did you see the Elvis movie?
I did not. Did you?
No. But I love the like camp behind it. And by that, I mean like how Austin Butler, who played Elvis, continues to embody the spirit of Elvis.
That's just his thing now.
He just talks like Elvis now. Yeah.
That's kind of obnoxious.
It's like a method acting thing.
Yeah, but you do that before the movie and then you stop.
It appears that Daniel Day-Lewis is not. Yeah, he said he's now in his DNA, and it appears that.
Okay, Madonna.
It appears that Elvis's ghost is still rocking and rolling.
That makes me very much not want to watch it, actually.
No, I won't see Elvis. I haven't been to Graceland. I just thought it was interesting. I guess I find like Inheritance more interesting than the actual subject matter. Okay, well, we have one more bit of hot topic news to discuss with you. Rachel, do you want to dive into this one?
If you're a longtime listener, then you know that we always recap HGTV's Battle on the Beach, and we always have an eye on what the houses are doing after the fact. We just discovered that the three homes from season 2 are on the market, and they're being offered as a package deal.
Yeah,
isn't this nuts?
So weird. It's weird because I don't know who would want to buy these three big houses right next to each other. I mean, Battle on the Beach is a very unique HGTV show in that, well, it's similar. It's not unique. It's similar to Rock the Block in that these designers come in and renovate three homes that are right next to each other. So choosing the location for this show is, I think it's pretty difficult because they have to find three identical houses right next to each other. And that's what you're buying if you buy these three houses. They're not identical on the in the actual like decor, because that was of course the challenge.
The whole point, yeah.
Yeah, remake the home and make it beautiful and your likeness and functional and whatever. I just don't see the benefit of buying all three homes. Like,
so they are,
what do you think?
Yeah, and we will link to the listing in our show notes. They are right now for sale for $2.9 million. That's for all three.
Yeah.
I wonder if you could possibly,
like, sell the other two.
Or finagle to buy just one or two of them. And by the way, this was the season that took place in Surfside Beach, Texas. It was the most recent season with Wally and Jacqueline. Fill me in here.
It was Wally and Jacqueline, the Canadians, and the Canadians won. They were Team Alice and Victoria. I don't remember. Like, Zach and I don't know. And the father son.
Oh yeah, I liked that.
Remember?
Yeah,
I liked them too. But by the end, the father got really
mad.
he was over it.
So this was the most recent season that filmed in Surfside Beach, Texas, and the judges were Sarah
and Brian Baumler,
right
from Tropical Paradise
Renovation Island, show. Right?
Yes. You got it. And then the celebrity mentors, again, there was Team Ty Pennington, Team Allison Victoria, and Team Tanya Nyack. The Canadians took the crown, and we thought that these homes were going to be offered up like
individually.
One, two, three.
Yeah.
But in fact, we have now learned that they're coming as a package deal.
Yeah. The listing details say that it's a multifamily retreat, but also a business opportunity. So I suppose they are hoping to, I don't know. I don't know what you would do with this.
Like beach, Airbnb, beach rental. I was looking up like, Surfside Beach, Texas. Like, what do people do here? It's a small town. It says there's 8 local restaurants to choose from.
Okay.
Beachfront cafes to eateries serving up hamburgers and fresh seafood. You can visit the site of the first battle of the Texas Revolution. Embark on a birding adventure. So I think what I'm trying to say here is that there's not a lot to do here.
I think except you go to the beach.
You go to the beach. You hang out. You're in the beach. You sit in the sun.
I am gathering it's a developing area. They say it's a business opportunity because it's situated on commercial property.
Yeah, there's a lot like adjacent to these homes that overlooks because these are like on the beach. It's pretty cool opportunity if you have the beach right there, and then there's also land behind it that overlooks the bay. So
I just like I would be down to buy one, but I don't want to be forced to buy three. So it's it's an interesting. Nor could I buy three. Maybe I could afford one, but I certainly can't afford three.
It's a very interesting business proposition.
Well, we are going to write about it. I think we have feelers out right now to the agent. So
yeah.
We'll find out. If we find out why they're doing it as a package deal, we will report back.
Yeah, we'll let you know. I'm curious to hear what the people who are selling them have to say or what other people, what other experts think.
It is funny because do you remember when we were recapping the show, all the houses are connected by a walkway? And we were like, why are they doing that? Wouldn't you want private access? Like you wouldn't want to open up your walkway to your neighbor, but maybe if they planned on doing this all along.
Yeah, no, totally. And maybe that's just like a unique, like there's other clusters of homes that have like a similar unique design feature of like the connected porchways. And then, you know, you rent it out to a couple families and each family gets a house. It seems like a very specific situation that and type of like person and renter that you're looking for.
Yeah. And then on top of that, each house is extremely specific.
Yes.
With its design aesthetic.
Yes. Rachel, you've used Facebook Marketplace before, right? You've bought and sold.
I have sold.
Items? You've sold items. Mm-hmm. What have you, for the home?
Mm-hmm. I've used all sorts of things. I've used Marketplace. I've used Craigslist. I've used Nextdoor. But I believe Marketplace, I actually had pretty good luck with selling items.
I'm trying to think of like, since I moved to LA, like I've bought a dining table. I've bought a hutch that we store like beer and glassware in, and we have a record player on top. It's a very popular place, Facebook Marketplace. And I saw this post on Reddit recently from a grad student who says that buying all of my furniture on Facebook Marketplace has saved me $10,000 at least.
How do you calculate that though?
Well, I think they estimated, like, you know, I bought a Crate and Barrel coffee table, and a similar one was, I saw it was $1,500 online, but I only paid $100 for it. So this person says, I would estimate that I've spent about $1,000 to $1,500 on Marketplace and have saved more than $10,000. And they've bought 2 queen beds, 2 bed frames, a dining table, a couch, TV stand, 2 desks, area rugs, carpet runners, couch, like basically like, it sounds like this person is just like the guru of buying things. And they actually included tips. Because when you're scrolling through, it can feel kind of like an endless, an endless scroll, and it can feel like, oh, do I know this is good? And, or, oh, I don't see very good stuff.
They suggested searching for terms like move out or multiple items or moving. I assume because that means that you would get a good deal, like that they're priced to sell or willing to negotiate.
Right.
They also suggested getting like air conditioners for cheap in the winter or patio furniture in the fall. I think that's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I've certainly been in the situation as like someone who's moving out, who's just like, yeah, take it. Like both of the places, the two places that I've moved, the previous two places that I've lived, I've posted things, had people come through, and then I've been like, do you want a coffee? Do you want a side table also? Do you want some napkins? Like, you know,
I've definitely tried to throw things in there like while you're at
Yeah, sometimes you're just in a place of like, oh, by the way, $5.
Yeah.
Take them. They're yours, you know, because you get to that desperate, like, I don't want to haul it out. So if someone's going to take it. And it turns out there's a lot of people like that out there as well who are moving. This Reddit user also said something about how she was shocked at how many people get 2 like mattresses, like they're accidentally shipped like 2 Casper mattresses or 2, you know, like the mattress in a box. Mm-hmm. And so she says she's bought mattresses for $200 because someone just had the company accidentally shipped them 2.
Wow.
Or like there was a problem with the first one, so they just shipped them another one or something. So,
wow. I have a question for you and also our listeners, if you guys want to write in and tell us, podcast@realtor.com. But up here at the Bay Area in California, I feel like there's very much a buy nothing mania happening.
Yeah. And tell me about buy nothing. Cause I'm not versed in buy nothing. So tell me about buy nothing groups.
Buy nothing is a Facebook group and they have them all over the country. You have to live in the area in which you are signing up for your buy nothing group. And that's really the only criteria. That and you post things on there that you're giving away for free. Or you can say, I'm in search of diapers or a coffee table or whatever. And then people might say, okay, I'm trying to get rid of that. You can have it for free. But the whole concept is buy nothing, spend nothing, get stuff out of your house easily to somebody who definitely really wants it, and there's no money transaction. And I guess my question, it just seems so popular up here, and I've wondered, are things like Facebook Marketplace and Craigslist and other selling platforms, are those going to go to the wayside if people are people actually using buy nothing more than selling platforms?
Than actually trying to like buy or sell things for like money? I don't know, because I feel like there will always be people who are like, I paid $3,000 for this sofa. Like, I'm not in the financial place to just like,
I mean, that's, you know, it's me.
I still think I can get some, like this sofa still has some wear in it.
Yeah.
So I think I can at least get a couple $100 for it. That's not chump change.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think people will always be like that. I think it just depends. I think we're in a world where both will always exist.
Okay.
Yeah. That's so interesting, though. I like the thing I like about the Buy Nothing groups is that they're local.
Yeah. No, Buy Nothings are all are definitely local, and you actually have to put in your zip code and prove that you are local and
kind of like Nextdoor.
I just have so many. Yeah, it is similar to Nextdoor. Yeah. But for free. And I have so many friends who have picked up everything from, I don't know, jewelry to patio furniture to...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it really runs the gamut. And people have been
just
so...
Just for free.
Just for free. Because other people just want to get it out of their house. And
yeah,
they don't want to mess with trying to sell or negotiate or whatever. It's just, come get it.
Half the battle, and this the Redditor from the post that we talked about, she mentioned like transport can be a big thing for people. Mm-hmm. Like, ugh, but I don't want to have to go pick it up, or like, saying that people have to come and pick it up. And so she said, if you don't have like a big car like she does, just offer $20 to have the seller come and just drop it off to you. But I feel like if something is free, people are going to find a way to get it.
Yeah.
As quickly as they can. If it's a good find.
Well, also it breeds competition. More competition.
Totally. Totally. Damn. Well, I'm going to be moving in a few months, like this summer. So
you might want to join your local Buy Nothing group.
I should. Now it's time for Winners and Losers. This is the segment where we talk about celebrities and the homes that they bought, sold, or rented. We choose one winner and one loser, and it's all about making deals. It's the theme of the podcast. Give me a deal. If they made a good deal, they are a winner, and if they lost some cash, they're our loser. A lot of times we have qualified losers based on, for number reasons. And that's the case with this week's loser for sure. Rachel, tell us about him.
This week, our very qualified loser is rapper, musician, and also real estate mogul, Dr. Dre. He is our loser for selling his Calabasas mansion for less than asking. He listed it for $6.1 million in November of 2022, and he sold it for $6 million a few weeks ago. So even though it flew off the market really fast,
did everything right
in a matter of a month, and he only lost $100,000 on the sale.
You're a loser.
And he actually bought it for, he actually didn't lose $100,000 on the sale. He just got $100,000 less than he was asking for. He bought it for $4.9 million back in 2018. So he still made a profit of $1 million. And yet he's our loser.
Maybe they should have priced it at six.
Maybe.
then he wouldn't be our qualified loser.
Very qualified loser. Other than that, he's doing great. He's quite on top of the real estate world.
He's not on the level of like Ellen DeGeneres and Portia de Rossi in terms of like how frequently he's buying and selling places. But like he has quite an extensive real estate portfolio of places, including this one in Calabasas. And I think he just bought a place in Malibu. Nope. He's selling a place in Malibu for $20 million.
Should we do Peter Gallagher instead? Your old bud from the OC.
No, I don't want to call him a loser.
Oh my God, Natalie. He's definitively more a loser than Dre is.
I tried to hide it.
Natalie.
I tried to hide Peter Gallagher from you, but you couldn't. He couldn't be hidden.
I guess real real estate loser is Peter Gallagher.
I think we, fine.
Your OC bias is showing.
I love the OC, the TV show, and Peter Gallagher, who played Sandy Cohen, the father figure on the show. He's been trying to sell his Los Angeles home for a hot minute. Mm-hmm. Apparently, when did he put this place on the market? It was
2016,
and he's had price drop, and now it's back on the market for what, 4.9?
Yeah, 4.999. So
yeah,
he put it on the market in 2016 for $6 million. Immediately had to reduce the price, got no takers, and yeah, now it's back on the market 7 years later, 6 years later, for 4.999.
It's a very interesting place. It's in Brentwood, the Brentwood neighborhood of Los Angeles. The exterior looks like something out of the Swiss Family Robinson.
Like a treehouse,
like
yeah.
Like a treehouse, which is cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. The inside's kind of meh, though.
The inside looks... This place doesn't look like it was built a long time ago. And what I mean is it looks like it was built in the 90s.
Yeah.
Or the early 2000s.
It looks dated in all the bad ways.
The bathroom... The main bathroom is bad. You have the glass bricks for the shower. But the backyard with that saltwater pool, I mean, that's the selling point of this place. Yeah. And there's a little putting green. The reason that you'd buy this place is for the backyard, and then you'd fix up the interiors. So, yeah, you got me. I was trying to divert your attention away from Sandy Cohen, but
you almost had me too. Yeah.
Before we hit stop on the recording, you're like, wait, Peter.
Wait a
Gallagher.
Gosh darn second.
Wait, Dr. Dre's not our loser.
No. That's quite the stretch. I can't in good conscience call him a loser, but I can call Peter Gallagher a clear loser. Not only for still trying to sell his house and reducing the asking price multiple times, but also because it doesn't seem that he's made the necessary improvements inside to sell the place.
I was willing to sacrifice Dr. Dre for Peter Gallagher.
I love him too. I think he's great. Fell in love with him on While You Were Sleeping with Sandra Bullock.
Yes, a classic.
One of my
yes.
favorites.
And Bill Pullman, a classic.
And I think he'll be okay. He's still got, he's still prominently on
screen.
Oh, he's fine.
He's
on Grey's Anatomy right now. Like, he'll be
fine. I think he has a big estate in, like, Greenwich, Connecticut.
That doesn't surprise me.
Because he's like a Broadway guy and he's done like SVU, like Law and Order SVU. Yeah. I think his main residence is the Greenwich home.
That doesn't surprise me. He seems East Coast through and through.
Yeah. So,
but
fine.
Yeah. This place needs some updates.
For sure. Well, let's move on to our winner.
Okay.
I love this story. I don't know why. I'm just like, ooh, cool. The winners this week are good old Ellen DeGeneres and Portia de Rossi, the ultimate real estate moguls. And there are winners for selling yet another Montecito, California home. It's a home called Rancho San Leandro. It's beautiful. It literally is like a Spanish-style ranch in the beautiful Santa Barbara area. And they sold it for quite a profit. And this house has exchanged hands a couple of times. So Ellen and Portia bought it in 2017 for $7 million. They fixed it up like they always do. And then they sold it less than a year later to Tinder co-founder Sean Rad for $11 million. He decided... I'm good with this house. And he sold it back to Ellen and Portia in 2021 for $14.3 million. And Portia and Ellen said, well, we can find someone else to sell this to. And they did. And who did they find but Whitney Wolf, who is another co-founder of Tinder who left the company in 2014 and founded Bumble, the dating app. So it's just a pedigree of dating apps at this place, at Rancho San Leandro. And Wolf and her husband just bought it for $21 million. So Wolf actually filed a lawsuit that accused Tinder executives of sexual harassment after she left the company. And I don't know. I just think it's so weird that she would want to buy the house that previously belonged to the CEO of the company that she left and later filed a lawsuit against.
Maybe it's like a weird flex, power move.
Maybe. And she bought it for way more than he did. So maybe it is a flex. Perhaps.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, they have straight up like FU money. Like she and her husband. Her husband is an oil heir, Michael Hurd. And then Bumble is worth, who knows, you know, $1 billion. Like she's the CEO. I'm sure $21 million is a drop in the bucket to them, but I just think I just thought it was a weird, incestuous
real estate transaction. Yeah.
Real estate transaction.
Ellen and Portia are at the root of it all.
Ellen and Portia are the, yeah, they're just doling
the matchmakers.
There you go. All right. Well, that is it for this episode of House Party. Thank you for tuning in. If you want to check out any of the stories that we talked about today, you can go to realtor.com/news. You can also go to Google, type in realtor.com and the topic, and the story should pop up for you. And then we will also link to the stories and or listings in your show notes. So go to your podcast app and check out those links. If you have a free moment, if you could scroll down and give us a 5-star rating, write a review, and then hit that subscribe button so you get episodes delivered straight to your device. That would be awesome. And tell all your friends. Thank you.
Yeah, we definitely would really appreciate your reviews and your feedback and what you like and don't like about our show. If you want to get in touch with us and tell us directly, you can email us at podcast@realtor.com. That's singular, podcast@realtor.com. Or you can find us on social media. We are on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And our handle is @housepartypod on all three.
Thanks again, and we'll catch you later. Bye.
Bye.